Good morning, church. I'm so excited that you're here with us today to celebrate with us. I was sitting here through that last song, through the last couple of songs, and I'm just, you know, I'm looking around, and I think I've been doing church, I've been doing ministry for a long time, and I think it's real easy to get caught up in going through the motions of something that one time you prayed so hard and so long for. I think I got to a moment where, like, I was like, man, we're doing this thing, we're doing church, let's get everything ready, let's do it, and I forgot to remember the fact that, man, the fact that we're here today, that God has blessed us for the last 3 years and through a year of pandemic, like, it's not normal, right? Us being here, us being able to worship here, us being able to do what we do every single week, it's not normal, and so I just... in this moment, I found myself really just saying, thank you, God, for blessing us. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be a part of this church, to be a part of this community. And I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know what's been going on in your life. But, man, I would tell you, take a moment today to look at the things that God has blessed you with and cherish them. Cherish them. They're important. The things that God has put in your life, the people that God has put in your life, don't take them for granted. So I wanted to start with that, just because that's something that God laid on my heart, and I don't take any of this for granted. What we get to do every single week is so important and has such a kingdom impact in it. It is a blessing. Now, 2020 has been a season, has it not? It's been a season, and I don't know, and man, maybe at the beginning of the year, right? We start out strong in the beginning of the year. We got these dreams, and we're gonna start something new, whether it just be a new way of living, or maybe it's a new business or a new venture. But I feel like 2020 came in and just said, nope, right? And it happened, and that's the reality. 2020 just came in and just, I wonder what dream, what venture did 2020 rob you of? Today we're going to be talking about seasons, but what I want you to know that before you can enter into your dreams, before they can be realized, many times God needs to prepare you and make preparations for that dream season that you so desperately long for. There's this dream season. So this is what I want to say. Dream seasons happen after seasons of preparation. You can't just enter into that dream. There's preparation that takes place. Again, We're here, we're celebrating for 3 years, but let me just tell you, this didn't happen by accident. We didn't just think, hey, you know what, one day let's start a church. And it was just like, boom, there you go. That's not what happened. Man, it's been, man, just many, many years before we even started of prayer, of work. We're my set up and tear down people, right? Some of you people don't even, like, we set up and we tore down every single week, and there was this preparation of investing in people and, man, people investing in our church all along the way. And, man, God prepared us before we started, and he's prepared us every step of the way. And we're here in this season, and it's awesome. But I believe right now God is preparing us for something even better. I am believing that the best is yet to come. It's yet to come. Y'all, here's what I've looked at this past year, and here's what I've realized. 2020 is a season of preparation for a harvest in 2021. And we got to be ready for it. We got to go after it because God is about to do something spectacular, and we've got to be prepared for it. Kicking off a new series today called Seasons. We're going to look at the life of a guy named Joseph in the Old Testament. And then this is a man who went through many seasons and hardships in his life, but he saw his dreams come to fruition. So over the next few weeks, we're going to follow along. Today, I kind of want to give you kind of the overall story of his life and talk about those dreams and that preparation. But before I do, I'm going to ask that you guys would pray with me really quick. God, thank you for allowing us to be here today, for allowing us to worship in your presence and with your people. God, right now, as we enter into this message, God, I pray that each and every one of us, our hearts will be stirred by your Spirit. And God, that your word would speak to us and challenge us and maybe help change or shift the perspective on the season that we've gone through to help us to realize the season that you're preparing us for. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So today's title of today's sermon is just that, dreams and preparation. Now, Joseph, he was a dreamer. Literally, he was a dreamer. He had these dreams, and man, in order for his dreams to come about, there was preparation in his life that had to take place. I want to share the two dreams that Joseph that had, that kind of set into motion everything that took place afterwards. It takes place in Genesis 37, 5 through 11. You can follow along on the screens, pull out your app on your Bible, pull out your Bible, whatever. If you're joining us online, you can follow along as well. Here we go, verse 5 of 37. Then Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Brothers are great. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. There we were, binding sheaves of grain in the field. My sheaf stood up, and your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. Are you really going to reign over us?" his brothers asked him. "Are you really going to rule us?" So they hated him even more because of his dream and what he had said. Well, if that wasn't enough, then he had another dream. And not learning his lesson, he told his brothers again. "Look," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." He's really putting himself on a pedestal, isn't he? And he told his father and brothers, but his father rebuked him. "What kind of dream is this that you have had?" Now the father's like, he's all right, man, this is getting out of control. What kind of dream is this? "Are your mother and brothers and I going to come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. And so this is kind of how the story starts. Kind of sets into the motion some things that are going to take place. And, you know, Joseph's journey, the seasons that he's about to enter into, take place because there is jealousy of him. Because, the Bible's clear that Joseph was the favorite son. And he has this robe of many colors. And the brothers already didn't like him because of that. But then there's this jealousy and hatred that is sparked from this dream. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, why are they so upset about a dream? Like, do they actually believe it? And that's why they're so upset. But there's this jealousy, there's this hate that comes in that causes the brothers to then, you know, sell him into slavery and be done with him. And ironically enough, the very hate that the dreams caused actually set into motion what the dreams were about. One of my favorite quotes from Kung Fu Panda is from Master Oogway, right? One often finds his destiny on the road he takes to avoid it. And I think about that. Like, they were so angry and so upset about this dream that he had that they intervened and did something about it, and they actually set it into motion. Now, if you don't know the story of Joseph, spoiler alert, he's sold into slavery, and through a series of events, he becomes second in charge of Pharaoh, and a famine goes through the land, and he ends up serving grain to his entire family, and essentially being their savior in that moment, right? He was in a much higher place. He was raised to a higher power, and you begin to see those dreams come to fruition. But this journey to get to his dream, it took many years. And along the way, there was hurt and disappointment and change and challenge. He was sold into slavery at the age of 17. And it wasn't till the age of 39 that he was reunited with his family and this dream would come about. That's 22 years of preparation before his dreams came to fruition. Meanwhile, we're just waiting for this year to be over, right? Like 2020 be done, right? 22 years that Joseph had to wait for his dreams to come true. Now, let me give you a quick rundown. Maybe you don't know the story. You don't know it fully. You don't know everything. I'm not going to share the whole thing because I'd be reading a lot and then I'd pray out. Because it goes from Genesis 37 all the way through Genesis chapter 50. So let me give you kind of the overview. Okay, I already told you Joseph was the favorite son of his father, and the brothers were jealous. And so one day he goes out, he finds them, he tells on them, he shares these dreams. They try to kill him, but the oldest brother, Reuben, says, "No, let's not kill him. Why don't we just throw him in this pit?" And Reuben's plan was to go back and get him. Well, Reuben apparently went away, and the other brothers decided, hey, let's not just let him die. Let's not have blood on our hands. Let's sell him into slavery. And so he becomes a slave, and he becomes a slave to an officer of the Pharaoh. And while he's there, he proves himself to be trustworthy and someone who's very intelligent. And so officer of the Pharaoh, his name is Potiphar, he puts Joseph in charge of his entire household, everything. He trusted him with everything. One of my favorite lines in this story is that it says Joseph was handsome and well-built. I'm like, thanks for sharing that information with us. But anyway, it kind of segues into the fact that Potiphar's wife, his master's wife, noticed that he was well-built and handsome, And man seduced him, and you know, constantly was trying to get him to come and lay with her. I'll let you think about that however you want. Come and lay with her. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that to my master, and I'm not going to do that to my God. And so it turns out she wrongfully accuses him of trying to do that to her, and he's thrown in prison. And so, you just see all these layers of just seasons of preparation. And so he's in the prison. And you're like, okay, well, that's it for Joseph. But no, in the prison, he then finds favor with the prison ward, and he puts him in charge of the entire prison. And so it's like, okay, cool. In the prison, he meets the cupbearer and the chief baker of the Pharaoh, and they have these dreams. And lo and behold, there's Joseph to tell them what their dreams mean. He had good news for one guy, bad news for the other. So the cupbearer ended up living. He goes back to be with the Pharaoh. And Joseph's like, hey, make sure that you remember me when you go to be with the Pharaoh. Well, he forgot. And says, 2 years go by. And then guess what? Pharaoh then has this dream that was disturbing him and over, and no one could tell him what it meant. And then the cupbearer was like, oh, yeah, you know what? There's this guy. He's probably still in prison. I forgot about him, but he could tell you your dream. And that's what Joseph does. He goes and he tells the Pharaoh what his dream means. And there's going to be 7 years of just plenty. And then there's going to be 7 years of famine. He says, here's what you should do. And after he gets the plan, the Pharaoh puts Joseph in charge. And he basically says that you are second to me. You have control of everything other than Pharaoh duties. You have control of everything. And in this moment, that's when he begins to gather up the grain. And we get to the end of the story where he then, you know, gives the grain to his brothers. There's this moment of forgiveness and reconciliation. But it's this ebb and flow of these ups and these downs where you see him in a pit and you see him, you know, kind of raised up, and then you see him in prison, and then you see him raised up again. And it's this ebb and flow of seasons. And he experienced many seasons. There was pain, and there was testing, there was success and temptation, there was challenge and blessing, there was forgiveness and reconciliation. But I believe what's mixed in every single one of these is preparation. Preparation, God preparing him for what was going to come. Today, I wonder, what season do you find yourself in? And I wonder, will you continue to live for God in it? Have you made the most of the season that God has you in right now as he tries to prepare you for what's to come? Because here's the reality, God will prepare you for what he has planned for you, but the preparation won't always be easy. And you probably know this, that God has tested you and he's challenged you, but it's not to hurt you, it's to grow you and to help prepare you for what's to come. God will teach you in this season so that you are better prepared to endure the next one. So what dreams have you had? What dreams has God placed on your heart? Have you let them go? Have you forgot about them? Have you given up on them? Have you shared them with anybody or just kept them to yourself? You know, we talked about Joseph sharing his dreams, and maybe he didn't share them in the best way, and maybe he didn't fully understand what he was saying, or maybe he was just being a punk little brother, you know what I'm saying, and trying to rile his brothers up, but he shared his dreams. And I don't think they fully understood, the people that he shared them with fully understood what he was saying or what was going to happen. But often God will place a dream or a vision in our hearts for what he's calling us to or what he's planned for us. And sometimes it's really wild, right? Like, really, God, you're asking me to do this? It's hard for us to understand. It seems far-fetched. It seems almost impossible for us to be able to obtain. Can I just tell you, whatever dream, whatever vision, whatever God has placed on your heart to do, don't be afraid of it. And I would also say, don't try to bury it. Don't try to keep it hidden. And don't give up on it. And I would challenge you, no matter what flack you're going to get or what other people might say, don't be afraid to share it. To tell people what God is calling you into. And then as you do that, seek wise counsel on it. Because here's the reality. When it comes to sharing our dreams and the crazy, audacious things that God calls us to, if it seems far-fetched to you or kind of out in left field to you, you can probably guarantee that the people that you're sharing it with might be like, I don't think that's smart for you, or I don't think this is a good idea, or man, I think you're crazy and you should not do that. So just know that whether they support you or they don't, that if you will stick to it, that if you will go through these seasons of ebb and flow, God will prepare you for the dreams that he has given you. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on the things that God has called you to, wired you for, or gifted you with. And I was kind of just going through my journey, the journey that brought me here. And man, I was a computer technician working at a medical facility. I worked on computers and played video games. And I'm your pastor now. You're welcome. I remember finding my last church, New Walk Church, and man, just God just really putting this dream inside of me, this vision to step into this role as like the production guy, the graphic design guy, the web, just anyone that, all the creative stuff. God said, this is what I want you to do. And I remember sharing that dream with people, and I had and the job that I had was well-paying, it had great benefits, it wasn't going anywhere, and here I am leaving it to step into this dream that God has me to go join a church that's meeting out of a YMCA. And so you can think that people were like, hey, that's stupid, don't do that. I'm like, God told me to, so I'm going to do it. So there's dreams of ministry. And for my wife and I, we had this desire to grow our family, and God had placed it in our hearts to be adoptive parents and step into that. And when we first adopted and they told us how much it was going to cost, it was more than we made in a year. And it's like, this is impossible. This is far-fetched. How are we going to do it? But we did it. And since that time, God has continued to place his desire into us to be adoptive parents, to be foster parents, and to help other people do the same. But there were seasons along the way that were hard. Seasons of waiting, seasons of preparation, seasons of haters and naysayers. And then I step into this dream or this decision to plant Kairos Church. And y'all, I'm just going to tell you, the last church that I was at was awesome. Okay, I worshiped there, I worked there, I served there for 9 years. And I loved every minute of it. And I still would to this day, and I love that church. And God says, hey, it's time to get up and go. It's time to leave, and it's time to go and plant this church. It's time to leave everything you know, leave your family, and just go. And it's one of those things where it's like this dream that God gives you, and it's like, I don't think I can. I don't know how. I have 6 kids. I don't have enough money. What am I going to do, God? And you begin to wonder these questions, but it's a dream and a desire that God gave me. And we're standing here now, 3 years later, actually 4.5 years later, to be honest, because through the seasons of preparation, through trials, through hardship, we never gave up on the dream that God had placed in our hearts to see a church in a community help people embrace Jesus in every moment of their life. And so it's these dreams that we can't give up on. One of the things that I recognized in Joseph's story, and I believe is true for each of us, but we've got to be looking for it, is that in every season of preparation that we go through, there will be allies along the way. So in every season that you face, there is going to be allies. For Joseph, when he was young, he was a young boy, he was a teen, his father was on his side. When his brothers wanted to kill him, he had his oldest brother who protected him. When he was a slave, he had a master who brought him up and treated him more than. Then when he was put in prison, he was put in charge of everything and given, you know, just privilege there. And then with the cupbearer, he formed this bond and he had this ally, and that led him to the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh put him second in charge. There are allies that come along in every season that you are facing. I wonder, are you looking for them? Or are you just so caught up in your own turmoil and pain and things didn't go the way that you want that you aren't realizing that God is going to send people along the way to help you through this season to prepare you for the next? You see, our allies will come and go. They'll challenge us, they'll grow us, and guide us to where God is leading us. Kairos Church has had some allies along the way. I already mentioned one, New Walk Church. Man, they believed in us, they prayed for us, they commissioned us, they sent us out. Freedom Church from Gallatin, Tennessee. Some of y'all know Pastor Terrell Somerville. He's been here a few times. They're an ally. The youth pastor at the last church before me, his name's Matt Grohockey. Revelation Church, they were there for us. There's families who moved out here to help us plant. We have the Gladuras and the Varneys, the Roberts, the Valdezes, and there's so many more people with so many allies along the way who have financially supported us. I think about the different places that we've been over the last 3 years. 3 years, 3 different locations. Yes. The first one, Channel Lakes Complex, which is now, you know, Advent Fieldhouse. We were there. Channel Lakes Elementary School, they partnered with us. And now we're here in this place, man, and I believe it to be a miracle in this season where they allowed us to be here. There are allies that we have in every season, but we got to make sure we don't give up on the dreams that God has called us to. No matter how grim, no matter how difficult, no matter if it seems that the outcome may be bad, just know that God will place allies along the way to help us through our seasons, to prepare us for the seasons to come. You know, our worship team is pretty amazing, right? They're awesome. And our worship leader, Robbie Hinckley, he joined us a little bit over a year ago, and he's our longest standing worship leader to date. A little bit more on that in a minute. But I love Robbie and Steph Hinckley's story. And they've been through some seasons, and they've had allies along the way, mutual allies that brought us together. I mentioned Revelation Church and Matt Grohockey. Well, Matt Grohockey, who was the youth pastor before me, he planted a church up in Connecticut. And that just happened to be the church that Robbie was a worship leader at before this one. And so when we went out to plant the church, we had to go out and raise funds to get some money in order to make this thing happen. And one of the places we went was Revelation Church. So I went up there, I spoke, and cast vision for what we're doing. And Revelation was super generous to us. But in that, my wife and I kind of created a relationship. We became allies with Robbie and Steph Hinckley up in Connecticut. Now, mind you, this was about two and a half years ago that this happened. And my wife began talking to Steph about, you know, just children and foster care and adoption and just their heart to be parents one day. And 2.5 years later, I think that's about right. Timeline might be wrong. My wife gets a phone call from Steph saying, "Hey, we're moving down to Florida. And we're going to move down, and we want to begin our family through foster care." And so there's these allies that come, and if we're paying attention, God will use them in a huge way. And so they come down here, and they become a part of Kairos Church. And you know, if you're a part of Kairos Church, you know that fostering is a big part of it. And there's like 18 foster families and 9,000 kids running around. So it's a huge part of it. And so they get into it. They get licensed. And man, through the last, I think it's a little bit over a year, God has blessed them with 3 beautiful boys. Rambunctious, crazy boys, but 3 boys nonetheless, right? So they're foster parents to these 3 boys. And if you follow them on Facebook, they just announced this past week that Steph is pregnant. Now, I was going to share a little bit about that, but Steph shared something on Facebook the other day, and I just want to read it to you because it shares the heart of what I'm trying to say about every season that we face. And here's what it says. 8 years. 8 years we have longed for this moment. We have been on a roller coaster through this journey, spent a lot of money, spent a lot of days and nights excited and scared at the same time, cried more tears than I even knew I had, and ultimately spent many days on our knees praying and trusting God. It says, we have met some of the most incredible people through the journey who have supported us in every single moment. And through this, we have been able to minister and support others who are going through this who may not have had someone otherwise. I will say it over and over again. I am thankful for the way God has allowed us to go to where we are now, and will never, ever forget how it feels to go through this experience, and will continue to minister and love on those who are still going through the heartache. God is faithful and good. No matter what may happen, we will continue to trust him and praise him in every moment that we get. I couldn't have said it better. There's two really important things that she said. We have met some really incredible people through this journey who have supported us along the way. Even in the midst of preparation, even in the pit, even in dark seasons, there were people that were there. And I love that she said that she was thankful for the seasons that she went through because it led them to the season that God now has for them. And not only that, she now has the experience to help love on and minister and be an ally to someone who's going to go through it next. So God will prepare you and help you. But we just got to make sure we're looking for and not giving up and not losing hope, no matter what's taking place, or no matter if our dreams haven't come out yet. You know, Joseph's seasons of preparation, being tossed in a pit, sold as a slave, wrongfully imprisoned, right? The whole time his family thought he was dead, he didn't even have them to go with him through it. But can I just tell you, just because you find yourself in a pit or in a prison or in the darkest season of your life, it doesn't mean God still isn't moving. He's working through it all. Every moment, every detail, he is orchestrating it. But we've got to remember to be faithful So whatever it is, whatever your dream, whatever God has called you to, whatever he has put in your path, man, remember your dream. And remember the allies that God has given you along the way. Stay faithful to God. And don't give up in this season of preparation. Now, I shared a little bit about Kairos. And when we set out to plant the church, we actually landed in Auburndale, not Winter Haven, Auburndale. And we had every desire to plant a church in Auburndale. Well, Auburndale didn't want getting closed door after closed door after closed door, and it's disheartening, right? It's like, well, let's just be done. Let's just toss in the towel. Let's just go back to Newark where I could have a job and it'll be fine. But man, God just he kept giving us these different venues and these different ways and these different assets, and we landed out in Winter Haven, and through landing in Winter Haven, not Auburndale, man, we've gained some really amazing allies because God led us to where he needed us. So we find a place to launch, and we're all ready. September 10th is coming, and lo and behold, Hurricane Irma comes through and says, nope, right? You talk about a dark season, okay? You're going to go and plant a church, and the very day that you say you're going to plant, a hurricane comes through. Now, if you're smart, God's like, don't do it, right? It's done. You're not going to make it. But we're not. We're dumb. So we just said, let's do this thing. And we went and we planted a month later. But in that season, do you know what we got to do between the month that we had? We got to minister to people who were hurting because of the hurricane. And God allowed us to help those, become allies to those people. A little bit after that. So we got funding to plant our church. And it wasn't going the way that they wanted it to go. And y'all, for a good 2.5 months, they pulled our funding. And I pooped my pants a little bit. I'm gonna be real honest. I'm sorry. Can I say that? Yeah. They give us this money, and like, you budget it out, and it's like, okay, I'm gonna have this much money, I'm gonna be able to do all these things and go all after it, and then you still plan these things and you're still putting all this money out, but you don't have the money to do it with. So yeah, it's one of those pooping your pants moments, right? But again, through some allies, through some people that came alongside and said, you don't need to worry about it. Man, God has you here. God is going to continue to provide for you. Just keep the course. Don't give up on the dream that God has given you. And that's what we did. We said, you know what? Fine. We don't have that. We're going to be okay. We can shift some things around. We can change the way we operate, and we're going to be fine. And guess what? Here we are today, regardless of funding, right? But there's more things. I mentioned that Robbie is our longest standing worship leader. He's our fourth worship leader in less than 3 years. Whatever reason, worship leaders just don't want to be around me. It's because of the beard envy. I get it. I understand. We've had worship leaders come and go. The first guy was with us for a while, and they all of the reasons that they had to go were legitimate, good reasons. I don't want to trash them at all. But you had to go through that, and it's one of those things. Like, I have Christmas PTSD now, because the first two, I kid you not, it was like the same week. We're like, we got to bounce. And I'm like, no, don't do that. So Robbie lasted through one Christmas, and well, let's all pray that he lasts through the next one. So that happened. We were at Chain of Lakes Complex, and they're preparing to build the Advent Field House, and they're like, we're glad you guys are here, and you can stay as long as you want, but we're going to begin renovations, and there may be Sundays that you can't meet. And I'm like, does not compute. No, like that. We are a church. Sunday is what we do. We meet as a people like that. And so, but they were gracious to us. They gave us, a long time out before that was going to happen. And we got to enter into Chain of Lakes Elementary. But then a pandemic hits. And I'm just trying to show you, right, this ebb and this flow, these seasons of pits and prisons and darkness and preparation. And no matter what, they can't stop what God wants to do. Do you believe that in your life? Nothing can stop what God has planned. But we got to stay faithful. Kairos has been through it. And I don't know what the future holds, but he's placed some desires within my heart to bring him glory. And if they truly are his plans and not my own, they will come to pass when he deems necessary in order to bring him the most glory and to reach those who need him the most. It's not about me or my timing. It's about him and his timing and who he needs to reach in that time. So I have these desires in my heart. And there's been moments along the way, guys, and I know you've gone through this, where moments that come and you kind of forget the dreams that you were going after in the first place. you know, and you forget these desires that you have. And, you know, I've since, you know, day one of this church, even before we started, I have a desire to plant other churches. And it hasn't happened yet, but that doesn't mean I'm giving up. I'm just waiting for the right leader to step up and say, yeah, I want to do that. Who's going to, anyone want to raise their hand? Nah. We'll keep praying. We'll keep praying. It's a big thing to plant a church. I've had this desire in my heart to own a coffee shop. And I'll be real honest, it hasn't happened yet, but it's in view. I mean, literally, it's behind that wall right there. So I'm not giving up on that. And that's exciting. I have this desire to see my children live, love, and serve God with all of their heart. And I know they're not fully there yet, but there are seeds being planted, and I'm seeing growth, and I'm praying for the day that they are fully committed to following Christ in every day of their life. I have these desires for every foster child that comes through our home to see and know about Jesus and hopefully give their life to Jesus one day. And maybe I'm just planting the seed, and I may not get to see it come to fruition, but I have these desires. And with our desires, again, there's these moments that come. Moments of discouragement, moments where we beat ourselves up, moments where there's betrayal or broken relationships or not knowing if we're going to make it, moments when you want to throw in the towel. But the one thing that has gotten us through, and I pray that you will hold on to, is God's goodness, is God's faithfulness, and God's providence, calling you to the dreams that he has placed in your life. I wonder, have you forgotten the promises that God has given you? Have you forgotten the gifts and the purpose? Have you forgotten the plan that God has for you due to the season that you're in? Can I just remind you today, in your season of preparation, don't lose sight that God is still moving. He's still working. And I know it's been tough. I know it's been tough. I know it's been difficult. Man, you've gone through a lot, just like Joseph. And maybe you've forgotten your dreams. Maybe it's been so long or things have gotten too difficult for you that you forgot. And I think about Joseph through this, the 22 years where he was in these seasons of preparation. I wonder, did he forget the dreams that God once gave him, or is that what he held on to? You know, it isn't until Genesis 42, verse 9, it says, "And then Joseph remembered his dreams about them." And I think in that moment, there's this rekindling of what God is going to do within him and how God is going to use him. And I think in our lives that we, like Joseph, we have to remain faithful, unwavering in who God is. Because we got to understand that no matter what happens, no matter what season we find ourselves in, God is still working and God is still moving. And maybe we can't see it. Maybe we can see it, but we don't fully comprehend it. Maybe, man, we don't understand it. But nonetheless, God is working and he is moving. I wonder, what dream, what promises have you let go of in the midst of a pandemic? In lost or broken relationships? In losing a job or shutting down a business? What dreams have you given up on, but due to your, or it's God given you, but due to your current season, you've given up on them? Man, can I just tell you, just because what God has called you to hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it won't. And I believe I'm speaking to someone here today. Listen to me. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it won't. Don't give up. Keep praying. Stay faithful. Remember your allies that God has given you along the way. You know, sometimes in order to become the man or woman that God needs you to be, he has to break down or break away certain things or certain people in your life in order for you to get there. And maybe you're going through that right now, where you feel broke down, you feel tore down, but just know that God is trying to shape you for what he has for you. Listen to this. Joseph probably would have never become second in charge to Pharaoh had he not been thrown into a pit and sold into slavery. So no matter how low you are, no matter how dark this season is, don't give up on the dreams or the plan that God has for your life. And know this, your outlook on this season is going to affect the outcome of the next one. So what is your outlook right now? Maybe today you need to begin to shift your perspective on how you're reacting to your certain season today. Because the reality is all of us need to be humbled before we are honored. All of us need to be challenged before there can be change. All of us need to be faithful before we're given more. We need to serve before being served. We need to learn how to follow before being followed. And in these seasons, God is preparing us for that. So in your life, it seems like everything is just unraveling. I wonder, what lesson did you miss or forget to apply in your last season? I wonder, is God still trying to teach you something in this season right now in order for you to step into the next one? Every season, every pit, every dark season that we go through is a season of preparation for the next one. And one of the things I mentioned earlier is the importance of having allies on our side. And you always got to look for them. No matter how hurtful, no matter how down you are, look for those allies. But never lose sight of your greatest ally. I want to read to you Genesis 39, verse 2, verse 3, 21, and 23. Ready? The Lord was with Joseph. Verse 3, the Lord was with him, and the Lord made everything he did successful. Verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. Verse 23, the Lord was with him, and the Lord made everything he did successful. Now, he's talking about being successful as a slave. He's talking about being successful as a prisoner. And so what I need you to understand, no matter what season you are in, Jesus is your ally in every season. Don't forget it. He's there. He is with you. Don't give up on him because he's not giving up on you. God's seasons of preparation. I mean, the whole Bible. You look at the Old Testament. You know what the Old Testament was? It was preparation for the New Testament when Jesus was coming to bring salvation to the world. It's preparation. Jesus' life on earth, right? He came down here as a human. It prepared him to live and die a spotless and as a perfect sacrifice. In his seasons of preparation, it led him to a great sacrifice, right? Where he sacrificed his life for you and me on the cross. But guess what? The very next season, it brought a great reward. Jesus, he went through tough and difficult seasons of preparation just like you and I. I don't know if you know much about his life, or just the part where he died on the cross for you, but you can start from the very beginning, from the moment that he was born. There was a king that was trying to murder him. And in that young age, him and his family had to flee to a foreign country. And then, man, he goes and he spends the majority of his life. Because Jesus' ministry, his real ministry that we read about, it only took place for 3 years of his life. And we know that he was 33 when he died. And so he spends most of his life as a carpenter. Seasons of preparation. And there were times when he gathered allies and disciples. And through that he gained enemies. And he faced temptation. And he was healing the lame, the sick, the poor, the blind. He was betrayed by a close friend. He was arrested. He was beaten. He was crucified. And then he was resurrected. Jesus went through seasons of difficulty in preparation, all to bring you and I salvation. And because of that, because Jesus went through it, and knowing that he went through it, even, like, here's the reality about Jesus. Jesus knew what he was going to go through. And he still did it anyway. He did that for you. He did that for me. I don't know about you, but I find comfort in that. As a matter of fact, I find purpose in my seasons of preparation. But don't miss this. This is so important. No matter the season that you are in right now, if you don't rely on Jesus, if you don't make Jesus your ally, you're going to continue to have a difficulty overcoming whatever it is. You're going to continue to have difficulty managing whatever it is. You're going to continue to maybe hurt others as you go through this season. You're going to continue to miss out on all that God has through this season that you're in. You're going to continue to miss out on the allies that he's going to bring around you to support you and grow you. Jesus must be our ally in these seasons. Otherwise, we aren't going to make it. We can't. Without him. Without his grace, without his love, without, man, just this hope that there is something better awaiting us, this plan that God has given us, we won't make it. So in every season of preparation, you and I must remember to rely on Jesus in every moment. Because without him, we can't. We just can't. And I don't know what your next season holds. But I know this, with Jesus by your side, you can get through this one. You understand? With Jesus by your side, with Jesus as your ally, you will make it. Please, don't give up. Don't give up on that relationship. Don't give up on that job. Don't give up on that child. Don't give up on the things that God has put in your life and the things that God has called you to. Instead, lay it at his feet and say, God, right now, I give it to you. And I'm trusting you, and I'm believing that in this season you're going to grow me and change me and prepare me for the season that you have next. And that's what you guys would bow your heads. Close your eyes. I want to pray with you right now. And I know that through this time that I've been talking, whether through the Holy Spirit's convicting or just, man, your own self bringing it up, you are thinking about relationships. You are thinking about the seasons that you've been through this year or last year or the last 10 years. You're thinking about, man, the jobs that you've desired or the businesses that you've wanted to start, the ventures that you wanted to go on. And if you've given up today, I pray that through Jesus, it'll be revitalized and you'll say, you know what? This is just a season of preparation. And maybe what I thought isn't as good as what I needed because God's got something even better for you. God is working. God is moving. Please don't give up. Go to him. Cry out to him. And ask him for forgiveness and losing your faith in who he is and his plan and his promises for you. If you're here today and you've been put through it, you've had a difficult life, you've been put through a difficult season, and maybe that season was weeks, months, or even years. And through those seasons, you were missing that one key ally in Jesus Christ. If that's you today, and you need some hope, you need some peace in your life, and you need God to show you the plan that he has, can I just tell you, it starts with making Jesus your ally for whatever season you're going through. So I want to take a moment right now to pray with you. I'd ask you to just pray this with me. Just go to God and say, God, right now, I need you as my ally. God, I understand that in order to be in relationship with you, I've got to understand who Jesus is and what he did, that he is your son, that he came down and he took my place on the cross for all my sin. He died for my sin and then he rose again so that I could be forgiven and so that I could have a relationship with you and be given eternal life. God, right now, I ask for forgiveness of my sins, past, present, future sins, God, and right now, I need you. I need you in my life because I can't do it on my own. Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart, allow me to live for you. Allow me to make you my ally so that no matter what seasons come, I can overcome them. God, I thank you for every season that we've been through, the ones that challenged us, the ones that grew us, the ones that man, where we saw success. But God, I don't ever want to lose sight that we're not finished yet. And until you come back again, we aren't finished. And until everyone has heard of the name of Jesus Christ, we aren't finished. So God, don't let us ever give up on the plan, on the mission to go and share the gospel with everyone we come in contact with. God, I'm excited for the next season of this church, for the next season that you have for our lives and for our families. Continue to work, continue to move. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.